Lake Effect continues now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tite.
And I'm Bonnie North. The model most of us think of when we think of psychiatry involves a psychiatrist, a patient, a couch, and often prescriptions. And that's not too far from reality. But there are some in the field who are looking to change the paradigm and add alternative or complementary treatments, much as some other medical practitioners have done.
New Berlin psychiatrist Aruna Tummala's practice is in what's termed integrative psychiatry, a subset of the field that takes in both Western and other psychiatric techniques. She joins us in the studio to explain more. Welcome to the show.
It is my pleasure, Mitch.
So you have training in what we would call traditional psychiatry. Where does it fall short in your mind?
In a number of ways, actually. So I did my psychiatric residency both in India as well as in the U.S. And the main approach in psychiatry for various illnesses is that the brain actually develops a neurochemical imbalance. And to fix that, we have this set of different medications that we could use. This theory really is oversimplistic. And why do I say that? Mainly because there's a lot of evidence that is showing that what we have been doing up until now does not help anybody. As a psychiatrist, I think this is a very exciting time to be one, because I suddenly, with the additional training that I've had, mainly in integrative and holistic medicine over the last few years, I feel that my scope of intervention and what I can offer to patients has broadened so much that I feel very passionate about what I'm doing. I feel a renewed sense of purpose and enthusiasm and hope for my patients, which I'm sure they pick up on. And that itself is sometimes therapeutic in many ways.
What was the point in your career that you had this epiphany, that the traditional method of psychiatry using medicine primarily was maybe not getting the job done the way you'd want it to?
You know, I cannot take credit for that. I think it was dumb luck on my part, and that I got in touch with pioneers in this field. And it actually happened at one of the APA conferences that I attended. And I came in contact with a group of psychiatrists that were talking about integrative psychiatry. And in my mind, it meant combining psychotherapy with medications. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I'm already doing that. But they were like, no, that's not what it is. What they were doing is that really looking at mental illness as not really a brain disorder, but rather that the brain disorder and the symptoms of mental illness is actually a result of a physiological imbalance that could happen anywhere else in the body. So that was mind-blowing. I mean, I did not one but two residencies, plus a fellowship in geriatric psychiatry, and it's only now that I'm actually coming to know. And it's so simple, so profound. I mean, I think our ancestors really understood this phenomenon and this approach to life and disease and health and healing, but we somehow lost our way somewhere along the way.
Well, and so if your original concept of what integrative psychiatry would have been was medication plus psychotherapy, what is this other model of integrative psychiatry? What does it wrap into this big umbrella?
You know, to understand that, first we need to figure out what went wrong with this medication model. So one, we talked about the neurochemical imbalance. But current research actually tells us that the serotonin hypothesis, and I like to use the example of depression and the antidepressants because it really exemplifies what has gone wrong and what can be done to rectify it. So going by this example of depression and the antidepressants, the main hypothesis is that there is a serotonin deficiency in the brain. But really, in 50 years of research, there is absolutely no evidence for that. In fact, I was just I came across this study which was published in the journal Neuroscience and Biobehavioral Reviews. So they questioned the whole serotonin hypothesis. And basically what they said from their studies, they came to the conclusion that serotonin is not really an upper or downer, but it is more an energy regulator within the body. So what they said is that depression symptoms happen when, for some reason, we are seeing that there is limited resources within the body. And because of the limited resources, the brain actually, as a compensatory mechanism, increases serotonin, not decreasing it. And this increase in serotonin will then use the energy for preserving certain functions, like cognitive functions, say, for example, at the expense of other things like energy or sleep or appetite. I mean, so we see that in depression, you know, people feel fatigue, they lack motivation, they are not able to sleep very well, or their appetite is up and down. So Paul Andrews and his team actually are saying that this is because of an increase in serotonin, not really a deficiency of serotonin. And when we introduce antidepressants, they are not, their immediate action is to actually increase serotonin, and that actually worsens symptoms, which, you know, we all, you know, for years I used to tell patients, expect to feel worse before you feel better, because that is what I was taught. And but now I know that why that is happening is because of an increase in the same problem that the brain is trying to compensate. So when we actually see the therapeutic effect, that is actually the brain's compensatory mechanism. So then what is the problem?
Right. So there's my question.
Yes.
So if not that, then what?
So then that opens up this whole idea that maybe it's not really what is wrong in the brain, but that the brain and the symptoms of mental illness are a result of somewhere else. So what I've learned is that it could be in the gut. So now we are coming across research about the microbiome or the leaky gut syndrome. Or it could be because a very simple thing, nutritional deficiencies. Now, the first thing that I do is look for vitamin D and B12 and folate deficiencies. So is it that lack of resources that's making the brain compensate by increasing serotonin? In most of the my patients' cases, I think so. So that's just one example of what can go wrong. Sometimes it could be endocrine issues. We are living in a more toxic world right now. All of these external agents do create an imbalance within our endocrine system. Then, not to mention the sensory overload that we all have with our phones and with the media, and also, you know, overload in terms of noise pollution, visual pollution. All of these things do cause imbalances at different levels of the body. The other thing that I've found out is that people struggling with mental illness are at high risk for certain genetic polymorphisms. They're not genetic defects, so you're not doomed with having this polymorphism. It just means that certain genes, which are very, very critical, exist in a slightly different form. But because they exist in that different form, you end up having lower levels of functioning of that gene. A prime example for this is MTHFR gene. It's the methylene tetrahydrofolate reductase enzyme.
Easy for you to say.
Well, the first time I looked at this whole chemistry chart. I mean, I had to go back to biochemistry to really understand what was happening. So this one, I see almost 90% of my patients struggling with depression, anxiety, or addiction, schizophrenia, autism. They come back positive for this polymorphism. And when this polymorphism exists, they're unable to use nutrients like vitamin B12, folate, and that sets them at a disadvantage. They could be eating the most nutritious food, but at the level of the cells, they're not able to use that for everyday cellular functioning.
And so then what do you do if nutrition alone can't help alleviate what they're dealing with?
So we do have certain supplements. Methylfolate, or it's also known as Deplin, methyl form of vitamin B12, which is not available in our diet, but which is available as a supplement, as a pharmaceutical-grade vitamin. And some patients actually sometimes see response within 24 to 48 hours. It literally is like the cellular factory was chugging along with great difficulty, and then we are providing the raw material for it, and everything seems to fall in place. MTHFR gene is also responsible for detoxification in the body. So that ties in the environmental toxins.
And so at the end of the day, do you still see there being room for drugs as part of what psychiatrists do to treat mental illness?
I think there is. And that is why I do call myself as an integrative psychiatrist. I mean, I want to take what is the best of Western psychiatric thinking as well as these other alternative or complementary modes of thinking. So it is a combination of that. I do use certain medications primarily for their effect on sleep, appetite, reduction in anxiety, things like that. But it is always with the understanding that we have to figure out what is the root cause. Then the next big, you know, elephant in the room could be the psychological underpinnings. So it's really an exploration of the whole human experience that this person sitting in front of me has had.
Right. It sounds like when it comes to medication, it's not a question of, you know, is this the first resort or last resort? It's just a question of this is not the only resort.
Exactly. Yeah.
And as you say, what we think of as psychotherapy is also a part of the equation.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, and as I've said before, I mean, the medication management model never appealed to me. You know, the definition of psychiatry is doctor of the soul. And to be a doctor of the soul, you need to, you know, connect with the person at the level of the soul. And that does happen in establishing a humanistic relationship. I mean, again, you know, when you look at patient reviews about their doctors, it's not really about their, you know, knowledge, but it is about a doctor's empathy and their wisdom, which actually appeals to patients.
Do you find your work generally accepted by people who are working in the more traditional Western version of psychiatry?
You know, so I've been doing this for a few years now, and not so much within the immediate vicinity, but actually I should take that back. Patients love what I have to offer. I not only work in my own private practice, but I also work 2 days a week with the Whole Health Clinical Group, which is part of Milwaukee Center for Independence, and I'm getting to work with the indigent population. So when I talk to them about, you know, this is what I do, and I think this is what we need to do, medications, you're on, say, this and this medication, this has helped, may not help, but this is what is missing. We need to look at your, you know, lead levels, you know, we need to check your iron, how your blood sugar is doing, and other, you know, vitamin deficiencies, and let's figure out what we can do in terms of your diet and lifestyle. So patients absolutely love it. It makes immediate sense to them. But the medical community, going back to your question, it's been mixed. It has been mixed. So my training in the last few years has been with the Institute for Functional Medicine. And since they have started their clinic with the Cleveland School of Medicine, there has been more acceptance about this concept that food is medicine, drugs are not everything, and you have to have the systems-based approach. With my colleagues, some of them, it makes a lot of sense to them as well, like it did to me when I went to these conferences, but for some others, it is not.
Do you find patients are eager to I guess re-examine what they've been, how they've been treating their issues in the past? I mean, are patients eager to stop taking conventional drugs as far as that goes?
Yes, and I cannot say whether that is because of the way I market my practice that I'm attracting those kinds of people. But I used to do the same thing in this hospital where I worked for the past 7 years. And even there, although I'm not responsible for any of the marketing there, and I didn't have a choice of who I was working with. So when most of the times, you know, no matter what their background was, no matter what their you know, outlook in life was. Because, I mean, this, I think it really makes a lot of sense that, you know, why do we eat food? We eat because it sustains us. And when I tell them that when you're not getting the right nutrients, then it's the software of the body that breaks down first. It's not the hardware. And the software is really the brain and the mind. So when I explain it in these terms, it does make a lot of sense to people.
Aruna Tummala, thank you so much for sharing what you do, and I hope we'll get a chance to chat again.
It is my pleasure. Thank you.
Dr. Aruna Tummala is an integrative psychiatrist in New Berlin. You'll find a link to more about the field and what she does at wuwm.com.